We had a mishap tonight, and we rescheduled the show. We're talking, first of all, about the California ballot and recall election. Polls were made in some county ballots in California for the recall election, so blind people could feel the holes and know the appropriate place to sign their ballot. It also gave them a clue on who to vote for and where on the ballot it was. Now, I'm not privy to this type of information, but I trust the County person who made the announcement, and I will get to that video in a minute. But first, when I lived in Los Angeles from 17 years, the second time I lived there was from 1999 to 2012. I knew Larry Elder, and I went to his father's funeral, and he ran. I knew him from KABC. I used to call the show sometimes, and then we would email each other several days in about 2011. But anyways, he's a very strong-willed individual. I am a Democrat, but he's a libertarian. But I don't necessarily vote along his policy lines, but a lot of things he does make sense. So I'm going to play this clip. It's his last video on the day of the election.
Hey, Larry Elder here. Today, of course, is election day. So be sure to vote before 8 o'clock. And turn your ballot into a voting center. Go to getgavinout.com. That's getgavinout.com. We're going to change California. In fact, we're going to change the world. We're all going to do this together. Getgavinout.com.
Okay, now I'm going back to a video I played earlier tonight. It's about why the holes are on the ballot, and it's a county official is in charge of that. So one second here. I have to get to the right video. Here we go. There might be a commercial first.
We are getting the facts for you on the vote on whether to recall Governor Gavin Newsom. And now some voters are concerned about the mail-in ballots they've received. This is a ballot from Placer County. Now take a look here. The hole you see in the middle of the screen on the return envelope in some counties, but not others. The issue for some, the recall vote is visible from these holes. So you can see whether or not the person voted no or yes. And voters are worried that this could make the ballots vulnerable to fraud. We asked Ryan Ronco with the Placer County Registrar of Voters what are some things that voters can do to protect their vote.
There's really only one way to put the ballot into the envelope where that vote shows. And there are literally a dozen other ways that a person may be able to, after voting, place the ballot into the envelope and not have that choice show. And not the least of which is to just really reverse fold the ballot so that just the white portions of the ballot are showing, so that once you put it into the envelope, there's absolutely no way that the person might be able to see that vote.
And right now we're joined live by Jana Haynes. She is from the Sacramento County Voter Registrar's Office to give us some clarity and some advice and some information. And so, Jana, this isn't the case with the Sacramento County ballots, but there are still holes in a different location on the envelope. So can you explain to people why you do have those holes there?
Absolutely. So the holes are there for two reasons. The first and most important reason is for accessibility for visually impaired voters. We got some feedback from our blind community and from Secretary of State's office that in order for blind voters to be able to identify where the signature line is on the envelope, which is very important for them to sign, that this would help provide some individuality and autonomy for them to vote on their own. The other reason that we use those holes is so that after we open the envelope, take out the ballot and process it, we can visually tell immediately whether or not the envelope is empty to make sure that no ballot paper is left behind.
And so for people wondering why it's there for visually impaired, it's because they know where to feel, right? That's how they know
Correct.
How and where to vote on the ballot?
Yes. So if they run their finger along the ballot envelope, they can tell exactly where it is that the signature line ends and begins. You'll notice on nearly every mail-in envelope that there are two holes, one at the beginning of the signature line and one at the end of the signature line, and that's exactly what they're there for.
And so we just heard from Mr. Ronco, but, oh, I'm sorry, we heard from Mr. Ronco about
this. I was going to say, this is not a new piece of design on our envelopes. This is something that we've used for several years.
Right, and maybe it's just now coming to light just because it's a recall election, which is a very unique thing, and there aren't many questions on the ballot. So, and we just heard from Mr. Ronco on some ways to avoid that, especially like if you're living in Placer County where they do have the hole in a different place. What are some suggestions that you have for voters? Maybe just kind of be aware of where the holes are on your envelope if you don't want people to be able to see what you voted.
Absolutely. So every county ballot is designed differently. So the ballot in Placer County looks differently than the ballot in Sacramento, looks different than the ballot in Yolo, as well as the envelope. So it's good for voters to be aware whether this is an issue in your county or not. Once you fold your ballot and place it in the envelope, just take a glance at the holes and make sure that there's nothing that breaches your voter confidentiality. And in the event that there is, as Mr. Ronco said, there are several different ways to not only fold your ballot, but to place it in the envelope to avoid this issue.
Yeah, just something to kind of be aware of. Another question that I've been dying to ask you all week, we have wildfires going on all over the country. Hundreds of people have lost their homes. They won't be getting mail. And we actually just saw a post office burned to the ground in Grizzly Flats. What happens to those ballots and to the people who won't be receiving them? Or what do you tell the people who are either A, evacuated, B, lost their home, or C, that was their post office, so anything that they may have been waiting for may have been burned?
So for anyone that has had to evacuate through wildfires, or even in a situation where they didn't have to evacuate, but their mail may have been interrupted in transmission due to the fires, we encourage them to contact their county registrar's office to request a new ballot, either at their location that they're at or at an evacuated location. They can also wait till in-person voting starts in the beginning of September and go and vote in person. And any ballot that was issued to them that they weren't able to vote will be null and void once they vote in a different manner. And so every county registrar's office that is being impacted by these fires has a variety of ways to ensure that their voters can still vote, whether they're still in the county, outside the county, have had to evacuate or not. So there's a lot of protections in place, but we need to make sure that the voters are reaching out to their registrar's office to start that process.
Yeah.
I'm going to cut into the show now. Don is on the line. I don't know if Don will call back. Let me get to that process. So I'm going to be pulling John in. Hi, John. How are you doing?
Hello, Secret Ballot Jane.
I played the video twice on the first 20-minute show about the Jana Haynes from the Sacramento County explaining why holes are on the ballot for blind people. And
yeah,
how people in fires can obtain... They also talked about how to conceal the ballot, you know, if it looks like part of your information is exposed.
Well, in a secret ballot, we have elections here for our board at our HOA, and this isn't even like elections for president or anything like that. This is just a simple homeowners association. And in the ballot, you have to put your vote in a special unmarked envelope. And then that envelope is sealed and put inside a bigger envelope that has like your name, address, whatever. So you mail it in. They receive that. They throw away the outer envelope, which has your name, address, and blah, 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 to just this blank, unmarked envelope. And then at the board meeting, they open it up. No one has any idea what's going on with that ballot. And here we have an election where no one's told anyone anything about this. So I mentioned it to you. You didn't even know about it. No one knows about this stuff. You go, oh, there's a couple holes. There's two on the front. There's two or three on the back. They go, what the heck are these holes for? And they line up with the yes vote. The point is you can take and slide the thing up and down. You can move it. You can put it in the sun. Because there's holes there, the sunlight goes through it. That's
So do you think it's going to be damaged?
You could never have a secret ballot that has holes in it that lines up with your choices. And it's only for the yes recall. So in other words, the person trying to win. Have you ever heard of an election where the president of the United States comes out to a person on the West Coast, where people, candidates on the East Coast like Bernie Sanders or Chuck Schumer or celebrities are making special appearances, where the vice president of the United States is making a special appearance for a governor vote, a recall vote? Again, I've never seen this in my whole lifetime. And so the point is that the secret ballot, it can't be secret if you can look inside it, whether you fold it this way or that way. You put it in the sunlight. I did that. It's like, it doesn't matter if you fold it the other way. Just put it in the sunlight. It shines through because there's no envelope protection. It's not wearing a condom and saying, or it's wearing a condom with a hole in it and saying, baby, I'm wearing my protection tonight. The floor is yours.
Good Lord, John. Can you think of a more subdued analogy?
Well,
Suzette just called in, so keep it to
you.
So,
you know the
so there's a hole in the ballot. If you put it in the envelope, it still might expose a few things. And
It does expose. It's not might. It lines up exactly where the yes vote for recall is. So if you're a mail carrier, and California is a liberal state, and you pay someone, right? Oh, we're just okay. All these votes, these ballots come into, like maybe the Santa Monica depot or the Inglewood LAX, wherever, and it comes into major centers. And then they take those and they go, well, who's in charge of this? And they go, oh, here's Joe. And so someone comes by and says, hey, here's 10,000, Joe. Well, let me take a look at those. And Joe goes, 10,000, you know, I'm an oppressed minority. You know, it's like reparations. Let's get back at the. And here's the funny thing is, no one, has anyone ever said, hey, we've been hearing from the Democratic Party, white privilege, get rid of the patriarchy. Is there anyone more privileged than the Getty family and the Newsom family, which created all their inheritance tax benefit laws? The attorney for them was Gavin Newsom's dad, William Bill Newsom. Is that any more white privilege than the Getty family?
I read about Suzette and Wade are on the line, so I'm going to pull them in. I did read about Gavin Newsom's lucrative wine business, in which his net worth is $30 million, and he's aligned with the Getty family for a long time. I don't know if that propelled him into public service or money itself, but with that, I'm going to bring in Suzette and then Wade, because Wade tried calling in earlier and the show was changed. Hi, Suzette. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. Happy belated birthday to you.
Thanks. I'm now 61. I'm not retired like John,
years young.
But yep, and
you're 61
I'm
years
still
young.
Plugging away. Don and I had a 15-minute show earlier. I played a video from a county commissioner explaining why there's holes in the California recall ballot. And I also mentioned on the other show that I was friends with Larry Elder when I lived in L.A., a conservative, no doubt. And here's Wade.
Yeah.
Hi, Wade. How are you doing tonight?
Doing good. How's it going?
Good. If you guys are tired, I was thinking we'd do a one-hour show. But it's up to you how long you want to stay, because it was scheduled later than normal. And, John, you can continue, and I'm sure Suzette has some knowledge on this, and then I'll talk to you when I have a chance. So go ahead and finish your statement, John.
There's many things, but here's another thing with that. So the state commissioner or whoever is in charge of fair elections says, oh, the reason we have these couple holes in the front which line up with the yes recall vote, it's for the blind people. You have holes in an envelope you can see through for blind people? Are we that stupid? Really? And by the way, what does a blind person need to do with holes?
She did explain it. John, she did explain it pretty well. You just happened to call in late and miss the video.
Oh, I know. It's a great explanation. We've never, ever had this before. You know, in the mail-in ballots, did she explain you can print as many of those as you want? You get on your printer and you print them up and you hand it to her. You just fill in the names of everyone in your apartment complex and you mail it in. Did they explain that? Did they explain to CNN that they were posting the election results and that Larry Elder, when they did the update, just like the Trump election, lost 40,000 votes on the update? How can that happen? And no one notices because it's in real time. It's just floating by. Not going to report on this one. Nothing to see here, folks. I don't know if Larry Elder could have beaten Gavin Newsom because he doesn't have the clout.
Well, the one thing is, he's too right-wing. He's not even a Republican. He's a libertarian.
But here's the point. No one is defending Gavin Newsom on the economy, on the homeless, on crime, on wildfire management, on the economy, on the shutdown. The only thing that they can say is COVID, we're all going to die, and so he better lock it down. No one defends Gavin Newsom's record. There's nothing good that he's done for California. The worst governor, you know, worse than the Browns. And it's not, and it's covered up. And just like the same people, he goes without his mask. He says you can't have Thanksgiving. He'll lock it down. And he goes out and he celebrates. Just look at the awards, the Met Gala, the Metropolitan. AOC is wearing a dress. Says tax the rich. She's at an event. She makes $174K a year, and the tickets are $30,000 to $35,000. And she has a dress on with a designer, Aurora, I believe, James. And her shoes, they sell them for $1,000 a piece. The cheapest ones are $285 to $685, but $1,000 shoes, dresses that are $10,000, and they're both with their little dresses without masks.
Okay.
And everyone,
now
just
you're kind of, John.
None of them wore masks.
John, one thing at a time. Let Suzette or Wade comment now because you're drifting to another topic. But I see you. I understand your point. AOC didn't pay for any of those dresses or shoes.
It doesn't matter. She's wearing, you can't go to the Met Gala. It doesn't matter if they donated. You cannot go unless you have a $35,000 ticket, and it's written off for these rich people. And then again, you can't go in there with a $10 dress from Ross, you know, and walk in with a designer. So the point is, Gavin Newsom is that crowd of elite white privilege, patriarchy, and he doesn't wear a mask. He shuts down California. He makes $30 million off of his winery, Pulp Jack, and we get Jack. We get nothing. We're shut down. So I surrender the floor.
Okay, Suzanne, go ahead.
Yeah, there's a good point I think he's making that a lot of the preaching about white privilege are very rich white people that sometimes, like, you're telling us, you know, yeah, it's easy for you to say. Go ahead, Suzette.
Go ahead, Suzette. And
Gavin Newsom is one of the most privileged people. I mean, Larry grew up, you know, in, you know, they were saying as far as Compton or wherever it was. Basically, his family wasn't rich. They didn't have money. He grew up in, I guess, you know, the hood type place. So he knows he came from the school of hard knocks. But I think what the problem was with this election is, you know, over and over on the news I would hear that the California recall, the people of California weren't happy with the way Gavin Newsom handled the COVID. And it was like, okay, that wasn't even on the recall ballot. I mean, as far as the signatures, you have to identify the reasons why you want to recall the person. And that wasn't even on there anywhere. And as a matter of fact, I was able to get my neighbor to sign it because it wasn't on there because he didn't see that he had a problem with the way he handled COVID, because he's like, well, you know, things happen, developments happen, and people change their minds. And so he did the best that he could. And I'm like, okay, but it has nothing to do with that. Read what it says on there. And it talked about, you know, the brownouts, our energy, you know, as far as that goes, the drought, the fish, the smelt, as far as giving them water, and we have no water. And, you know, just as far as our taxes, our economy, everything like that, nothing having to do with the COVID. But I think the reason why Elder didn't get elected is because that message was missed and it wasn't pronounced, because I know that people probably, I know people would have voted for somebody else but Gavin Newsom if they knew why he was being recalled. So the message got lost. And not to mention the $70 million that Gavin Newsom spent to overpower that message and making it about white supremacy and Donald Trump. So that's what he made it about. He made it about race, which is really funny, considering he's, as Wade just mentioned, the whitest person and the most privileged person, and here you have people voting for him. So I don't think it was so much that that people voted for him, like John was saying, as far as the reason COVID-wise, but it was those other reasons, and they, people just weren't aware. And plus, there were discrepancies here and there. A friend of mine watched, it was a poll observer, and at her polling station, they were putting the ballots instead of the boxes that they're supposed to put them in, or the box. And then the provisional ballot box is different. You have a pink envelope, and you put the ballot in that, and then you put it in the box. They didn't have that. They were using yellow and red envelopes. So she reported that. And then when she was asking about it, the guy who was running that poll station had told her she needed to leave and that he knew about her people. I know about you and your people. Your people were here earlier. And she's like, what people? She had no clue what he was talking about. He's like, you need to leave now. So he escorted her to her car, and she had to leave. So I don't know exactly what that's about, neither does she, but she did record it. And, you know, that's one incident up and down California that we know of, and of course San Fernando Valley, where people were showing up and were being told that they had voted already when they didn't. So, you know, it's a bunch of things, but I think the messaging got lost, and that's where we failed. Back to you.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about the provisional ballots and the, you know, that, I mean, that means there's something bad going on, that, you know, That definitely tells you there's fraud. If people are finding out that they voted already, and so yeah, I don't see the argument that there could be any.
I have a question. Go ahead. When Wade's done.
Yeah, go ahead.
Wade, you can. I'm sorry, I interrupted. Was that your friend who worked? She worked at the poll station as a volunteer, and then she was kicked out just because she questioned the color of the envelope?
Yes. She had trained to be an observer, and not an actual poll worker, but just an observer. And there was another person, one other guy that was there too, and he saw, he was a witness. He didn't step in or anything and intervene. He just stood there, but he saw it all, I guess. So she gave his name. But, yeah. So.
And where did she turn her report into? Like, who did
she
complain to?
Her election office is County of Riverside.
And is she white or a different color? Is she white?
Yes.
Okay. John, do you have a comment on that, or Wade?
Well, I had a friend that voted. And she was instructed to. So what I did is I used the form. So you have a week to vote. People who complain about there's voter suppression and it's biased against minorities, you have a whole week to plan this out. It's not that complicated. You go in, you stand in line, just go a day or two before. You get in 5 minutes. Literally, it's like two or three people in line. You know, don't wait till the last second. But the point being is I got a blank piece of paper with a header on it. You put it in and it scans it like when you're scanning a paper to go into a computer. and then you do it, your choices pop up on the screen. You mark the screen, at least in California at Santa Monica College. And then when you're done, it pulls out. They put the paper back in. They reinsert it. Hit the switch. It scans it, and supposedly it votes it. Now, other people brought in their – I was told don't do that, but I didn't want to go through this whole process. What they were doing is taking their paper ballot, marking it, and then handing it. Here's the thing is she put it on video. She handed it to the person, and the person – she said, I want to see you feed it in. And she just kind of acted like, let me – oh, you know, in fact, with mine – they had to put it in two or three times to print. It wouldn't do it, so then he had to take it to another machine, and he put it in there. He said, oh, sometimes it doesn't, you know, they don't always work. It's like, really? What is so complicated? To have a machine that just says yes or no, to have a machine that just counts the vote. You've got, instead, they're doing an elaborate system that does software. It puts it online to a modem and a router, and it goes to another source, and then it compiles it. There's so much manipulation that can happen with this system. It's terrible because you can't track it. If you do coding for computers, you can hide things. You can hack. You can hack any system like that. It's not that hard. And there's millions – they used the Smartmatic system, the same system as the last election. They didn't say, you know, let's do a whole new thing, or let's do it where you got a Republican and a Democrat looking and making sure it's voted right. They didn't do that at my place. And with her, she acted like she fed it, and she didn't. And she said, no, stick it all the way in. And she, oh, okay. And she stuck it in there. The point is – people don't monitor that. They just hand them the ballot. Like, oh, okay, you took care of it. So I don't see any. I just don't see any honest election in the system for the next two or three elections unless they change it. It's terribly corrupt. Go ahead, Wade.
Oh yeah, no. Yeah, I didn't have a point. So go ahead.
I mean, if people accept the system, they're taking this at face value. It's unbelievable because, you know, the problem being is that there's so much money that goes into this, and there's so much control that's out of our hands. I don't trust any system that's electronic that someone's programming, because all you have to do is put whatever result you want, and it's easy to do if you know how to do it. Now, again, I don't understand what takes so long. If you have a machine that just counts it, you put it in and goes ba-boom. That's it. One here or one there. That's all. It's not that hard. They have machines that count money, right? You get a stack like 40, it goes ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, right? You could do hundreds of thousands of those in an hour. And now all we're trying to do is count votes. We're not trying to do calculus. We're not trying to do rocket science formulas. That's what they've made it. And if you question it, you're a conspiracy person. I don't accept any of what they're telling me at all.
I'm rewriting the show description, but we have Don on the line. So I'm going to pull Don in. Don, we're discussing, Suzette had a poll watcher friend who saw different county officials put red and yellow ballots in red and yellow envelopes. She tried to question them, and she got kicked out. John's been talking about Gavin Newsom's wealth and the corruption of the system and how he doesn't trust electronic voting, and you guys can tell him the rest.
Well, I don't know what is the deal, because I never – trust electronic anything, period, ever. Not for the first day I ever saw it. So this is the result of, I'll call them people in power who have an opportunity to corrupt the system, and this is what it's come by to. I would, you know, in terms of the internet or anything electronic, that's the easiest thing to corrupt there is. the back doors to everything. And so this, you know, I wouldn't doubt one bit that every election since electronic machines, voting machines have been corrupted in some way or another. So you guys can continue talking about whatever it is, but whatever it is, there is no answer, because the answer is it never should have been that way in the first place. Humans are not fallible, much less mass collection, collectibles, whatever it is. And whatever it is, I mean, the arguments are moot, in my opinion, because they will be corrupted.
Well, we do live in an electronic age, and whether you guys trust the system or not, it's that we're not going back to paper ballots like Canada.
We should
go back to paper ballots.
We need, and if we don't have paper ballots exclusively, they should be mandatory on every electronic voting machine. And on every polling place, they should make mandatory to have paper and have it, in fact, corroborated by counting it.
Well, I'm not trying to be cynical, but there's a lot of multi-language people in California, including Filipinos, Latino, and people.
Looks like I'm doing anything.
They'd have to print the ballots in, like, 25 different languages.
They have to get a driver's license. They have to fit in society. And if they can't speak the language or figure it out, why are they citizens? Why are they allowed here? It doesn't mean that they're not important. It doesn't mean they can't be here. It just means to participate in America, you need to speak the language. And I'll tell you beyond
that. Well, John, I'm talking about the people who've already lived here 20 years and can't read English, too, not just the new arrivals.
Why are they contributing to society when they can't even communicate with society?
But what is society? John, that's the point is that society is kind of what it is. It is what it is. For the most part, except for blacks,
Are stop signs supposed to be in 25 languages?
No,
are we supposed to have
signs
based
on
different nationalities?
What
they have in Mexico? No, you have
stop
to put this
is
the language.
A stop sign is red, and wherever
okay,
you go,
yeah, don't your little vortex and ignore Suzanne Wade, because you guys hijacked the show.
Damn, I just got on.
After about 45 minutes. Everybody can talk. Go ahead.
Free to jump in. Just jump in and do it. Just go for it. You know, and I do want to hear what you guys have to say. The point is we don't have 25 different warnings on every different block in every different store. Stores open or closed. You may want to do cerrado or abierto, but the point is it doesn't have to be done to accommodate that. This is the United States of America. It's not the Estados Unidos, the America, or however you want to call it, right? It's not. When you go to Mexico, you speak Spanish. And if I go there, I don't expect them to understand English, although it's the international language. But if I speak Russian or Turkish or whatever, I don't sit there, or Mandarin, I don't go to Mexico saying, hey, you need to accommodate me as a Mexican citizen. No. I don't get it. I mean, that's where we differ. I won't bow to that.
Yeah, well, go back to Mexico. I mean, I'm not sure I understand.
I'm an American. That's my point. I speak English. I'm born
you're American and Mexican.
That's my point.
Descent.
If I spoke Spanish and was born in Mexico, I would go to Mexico, and I would speak Spanish. But I'm not. But I do speak a little Spanish. Because half of America is they're trying to convert it, right? Get everyone in illegally so they can get the vote and get the power and the money. How about that? What do you think, Suzette? ¿Cómo estás?
She says she doesn't speak Mexican.
I would, I would fight
from Colombia. You might be insulting her.
I was actually dealing with the pizza guy. Sorry. I had it off the speakerphone.
You have to have structure. You have to have some kind of – you can't just have we have a million different languages, a million different laws. That you have to have for a society. You say, this is our society. This is our world. We believe in a man and a woman equals baby equals family.
Oh, my God, John.
Well,
John, we're a unique experiment. We are the most diverse country in the universe, in the history of the universe. So you can't expect to continue the old thinking and think that America is America just because of one English speaking set of traditions, the English set of traditions. You know, the problem is that, you know, the people who settled here on the Mayflower, they were vermin. They were dregs of the earth, just like the Australians, just like the New Zealanders.
They're
pieces of shit.
That's why they spoke English.
They were pieces of shit. They were pieces of shit.
You can speak Mexican.
John, guess what they have on the Minnesota Social Services website?
They have
flashcards. I wanted to tell you guys something important. They have flashcards for 15 different languages that you can click on, and then you can say things like, I need an interpreter, I want to apply for food stamps. So I'm going to name off the languages. English, Arabic, Amharic, Burmese, Cantonese, French, Hmong, Karen, Khmer, is that Cambodian? Korean, Laotian, Oromo, Russian, Somali, Spanish, and Vietnamese.
Right, and that's the whole point. That's my point, is that we are the most diverse country in the history of the universe. And for us to want to be homogenize our society is just plain stupid because it can't be done.
It can be done.
We live in a pluralistic culture. We can't go back to everyone talking English. I saw Amish guys walking down Duluth today.
When you enter the United States and you become a citizen, it is required of you to speak English and understand English, complete sentences and phrases of the American language, which is English. If you're unable to understand it or speak it, then that means you didn't come through.
Don, quit talking over her.
Suzette, that's only to pass the citizenship test.
Exactly, so to become a citizen.
Yeah, but that's only certain phrases.
You can go to the immigration site and it will tell you what they need to understand. They need to be able to read it, they need to be able to write it, and they need to be able to understand it and speak it.
How come these people don't know how to speak English? It's confusion.
Because they didn't come here the right way.
If I join a baseball team or a football team And I go, I'm on the team. And they go, great. And what's the play? And I go, well, here's my language. I speak Russian. We're going to do the bada binga boom. And you go, what's the bada binga boom? We don't know. We're doing X19. And everyone goes, you know, we practice it. We have one coach, right? We have a president. We have a Congress. We have a Supreme Court. The Constitution of the United States of America, the Declaration of Independence, it's not in 35 different languages. It's in English. You have to have commonality. You're creating confusion. You're trying
good
to accommodate different cultures. So you accommodate America. You pledge your allegiance to America. You don't pledge your allegiance to China or Mexico or South America. No, it's to America. Now, you don't have to...
Lord have mercy.
Go back to those countries and speak your own language. And we can be nice and try to accommodate you, but we don't have
to. Just let them talk, Don.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful if Article 1 wasn't taken out and said that blacks were three-fifths of a human being. It would be beautiful if they could apply it, but it's not applicable. There are so many people who can't speak English. There's so many people who don't know what the playbook is.
Well, if it's fine, then what's the deal?
Let's go to another subject.
Well, no, it is a big deal because do we have 20 different laws of different countries when you drive? You have to pick one law. You have to pick one currency. Do we have 50 different currencies we're using like right now? We're like, oh, I'm going to the store. I'm going to give them. You know what happens at the 99er when someone flags it? I go, we can't accept it. It's confused. It's chaos, Don. You're crazy.
Right.
When you meet with assemblymen and people and you talk about laws, do you draft them up according to the British Constitution?
No.
Or do you pick in Nigerian language? That's what you're advocating, chaos.
I'm not advocating anything. I'm saying
you said it had to end. We have to have all these different cultures now. That's what James said.
That's what we have. I don't see that we have to. Hell, I wish everybody was black like they're supposed to because everybody is black. So I wish that was the case, but we got all these white people talking that they're the gods of the world or something when they're vermin on the Mayflower and the Santa Maria and the Pinta and the Nina. They were the drugs of the world.
They offered to send blacks back to Africa, and they turned it down. They said, we don't want to go back.
No, because the blacks Africa didn't. That's because the blacks in Africa didn't want the blacks from America to come back there. Blacks in Africa
did
not like blacks.
They didn't want to leave America. They didn't.
No, but that's because that's our home now.
It was a free, Congress offered them a free passage.
Yes.
They offered a free ticket. They said, we don't want it.
Right.
Well, John is saying it's because Africa didn't want them back, and that's why they didn't go. And if that's the case, then I can't say for sure it is or not, as far as Africa wanting them back or not. But if that's the case, well, then why are we getting blamed for everything as far as, well, it's not our fault that they didn't take you back, but we're getting blamed as far as everybody else.
Yeah, well, I mean, somebody has to be blamed, so it might as well be people who brought us over here.
Yeah.
The blacks who were brought over here, you got to remember, were kings and queens of Africa. We were the leaders of Africa, and they brought us over to this.
All of them?
No.
The kings and queens were
running the country. They were Islamic, and they were enslaving them and selling them as slaves.
Some of them were
kings and queens who sold them. But most of them,
they were kings and queens. They were in charge of their land.
The king of England used to come
over the United States. No, if you're the queen, you rule your land. They didn't rule. They were just common people, tribesmen who got caught.
Oh, God, wrong. Wrong again. They were the kings and queens of Africa were brought over here as slaves. The slave mongers were vermin. They were the dregs of England, Spain, Italy.
Well, yeah.
They were the disease, they were the prisoners.
If you're a king of a country and you get taken over and sold, you weren't that much of a king. It's like I'm the boss, I'm the mob leader, and I got taken away to another country to be a slave. You're not that much of a mobster, because I'll tell you
and
that.
And those kings and queens were basically other tribes had overcome them, and so they were sold into slavery, you know, because they had lost. They were overcome by another tribe.
But they were still kings and queens. That's my point. That doesn't detract from the fact that they were kings, that we were kings and queens. Period.
What is a king or a queen? Someone who rules, right?
Someone who rules, correct.
Okay, so if you were brought over as a slave, you weren't a ruler. Unless the whole country was...
You were captured. You were a captured ruler. There's nothing to say.
Right, John, they weren't rulers anymore.
Right.
But they came before they stepped on that ship and were captured and sold, they were kings and queens. So,
if a whole population is kings and queens, then that doesn't mean a whole lot to be a king or a queen. Like, you know, it's a very selective thing.
But the bottom line is the people who conquered us were vermin. That's the point. It wasn't.
Yeah.
So
they were all vermin. They were all vermin. And that's what the colonists
just,
stuff was the colonists.
Destroyed the kings and queens. Got it. Right.
But they had guns.
No, I mean, I agree that conquerors are vermin for sure, yeah.
The conquerors are vermin but they had guns. And the unfortunate thing is that when you're in a natural beauty like Africa, most of Africa, you don't need guns. You're just running around naked and fucking and having fun. But then you got these people who want to control the world, and the next thing you know,
Don, you know what? We have this conversation every show, and it's off
it's
topic. I could go back and quote Kings and Queens 300 times. Black people just like to make love. White people are uptight, blah, blah, blah.
Jesus is black.
And Jesus is black, and we're worshiping...
You forgot that.
We're worshiping the Brad Pitt Jesus.
Yeah,
they were poor black tribespeople 200 years ago, and you go back there today, guess what? They're still poor tribespeople. They still don't have electricity. They're still living... They're still in squalor. They're still sold as slaves. So...
That's not necessarily true, John. My relative
no,
built
no,
a
no,
house in
right.
Liberia. It's like a mansion, and they have electricity, TVs, cell phones, everything. They just don't have clean water.
You know the more
and neither does California.
You know the biggest killer of kids is malaria and mosquito bites, and where is
I know
Africa,
I know it's a killer, but.
Well,
the white
fact.
White people brought diseases to Africa too, you know.
No, because they go to swamp water that's with mud and mosquitoes. They don't have proper sanitation, so they die of malaria.
Are you knocking the poor people, or are you knocking the government administration?
I'm not knocking that. I'm saying Don's trying to purport that this is some elevated higher race. That they were slaves, you know, that
we're
we made them.
We're the first
They've
race.
Always been
God,
slaves.
We're the first race. We're the friggin' cradle of civilization, fool.
Hey, the kings and queens.
No, the Middle East. The Middle East is technically. I hate to tell you.
And they're still part
of the kings and queens of those tribes doesn't mean that those tribes created a city of cement and steel. They were kings and queens of their tribes, of their villages. And there are people that choose to live a certain way, a simple way. That's their tradition. That's what they preserve. They would rather, you know, see the modern world and they, you know, it's frightening because look at the mess that we've made of our modern world. Why not live in simplicity and with your values and principles and traditions of your tribe, you know?
Yeah,
that's what it's all about.
All of math, all of architecture is made from the Egyptians, the Babylonians, and the people in that region. Everything is predicated on Egyptian writing, everything. Everything.
The cradle of civilization is the Tigris-Euphrates River,
where the
people of the book come from, the Jews, the Muslims, and the Christians.
Exactly. And that's right there by Africa, right in Africa.
Yep, it is pretty close to Africa.
Right. So that's where we all came from, and anybody who has any arguments about it just doesn't know. They're not God-fearing people because they don't understand.
Okay. The thing is, Don, is everybody's important in the world, even no matter what regime we were born under.
I merged with other races.
I didn't act arrogant.
Well, that's the whole point, is that everybody who came to America, this is a different experiment. This is a different dynamic. This is the first place that it had allowed everybody from all over the world to come here. They only had to learn a few phrases. Whatever is happening, ideally, you know, as I said, the First Amendment in our first article in the Constitution said blacks were three-fifths of a human being.
But Don, you have to
when they first started immigrating people here to America because we needed more people in order to establish a country, it was 10 years for people who, after they had opened the doors and said, okay, everybody, come, you know, if you want to come to America, come to America. But then they shut the doors and they said, okay, that's it. Now, anybody else, because now we have enough people to form a country, anybody else, it's going to take 10 years, and that's so that you can integrate into society by learning the language, learning the way the people live, and this way, and leave everything else behind, and, you know, resign your previous allegiance. And now it's 7 years. So in 7 years, it actually takes still 10 because of the weight and everything, but you have to have a sponsor. So in those 7 years, if you can't learn the American language, more than just a few phrases, then you wouldn't qualify, which makes sense because it's like, what have you been doing? You need to integrate. So it's 7 years that they had to learn English, no matter where they come from.
Correct.
And to a bigger point, she's making excellent sense. If you send your kids to school to educate them, well, what happens when they go there? They learn a common, they learn mathematics, they learn language, they learn history. They assimilate. They have to. When you start a company, right? You work for a company. Oh, I work at the 99er. Guess what? You have to wear this shirt and wear this outfit and say these things, right? I don't sit there and go, hey, what's up, brothers, sisters? Hey, my I'll use the N-word. No, I'm not going to do that. But, hey, my brother. You don't say that. You say, hello, welcome to the 99 cent store and blah, blah, blah. How come? Because that's how you work together in the Army. You don't have, like, 50 different uniforms, and I got a guy coming in with a Russian outfit. And, oh, this guy's from Cuba, so he's going to wear the Cuban flag. You know that doesn't work. That's so illogical. It makes no sense what you guys are saying. You know you have commonality. It's like, oh, let's go on. Let's use a different phone number for Jane's site. No, it has to be one phone number. It has to be Jane's Blog Talk. They can't go with 50 different ones. It doesn't work. Well, let's just have 50 different channels. They have 50 different people. The Bible even says when you speak in tongues, right? It doesn't say have 50 people speak in different languages. It says let one speak and let another interpret. If no one can interpret, don't speak in tongues. It says, how come? Because God's not the author of confusion. That's confusion is what you're promoting. It's chaos. That's you want to destroy America. And that's you may not even know it. You may think, oh, I'm helping. You're not helping. You're creating the destruction of a great country. And that's congratulations. That's what you're doing. You're very successful because you're trying to guilt other people into thinking that your way is right. It's not because you don't operate that way. When you go home, your wife doesn't do, oh, I got a new religion. I'm Islamic now.
Guest caller.
Go for it.
Okay, hold on a sec. Hi, someone from the 574. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing very well. My name is Bill. I'm from Alabama. And I believe I've been listening to your show for a few minutes there. Is this a homosexual show there? I heard a bunch of really weird things.
See, he didn't learn the language.
And that's why we cut her off, right? She's wet.
I cut him off in 30 seconds. He was completely off topic.
Or well, why did you let it go? This is or them go. This is what you talked about.
Because
four weeks ago,
I had the redneck cracker from South Carolina, and I let him talk an hour.
Yes. But if they go too far out of the program, right, what if they start talking a different language?
He called back in. Should I let him talk?
You let him talk?
As long as he's on topic.
As long as he's on topic, yes. I was going to say you should bring us right back to the
topic.
Okay,
I'm going to say, first of all, he has to talk in a dialect that we understand. I hope you're listening, 574. You have to pass the litmus test. Your IQ has to be over 80 because we're in a group of intellectual comrades. And you have to be relatable and provide knowledge, not just come here to insult us. What's your name again? Because you were talking in a dialect that was incoherent.
My name's Billy. I believe I speak the English language in the hills here in Alabama.
I want you to say something coherent. You have 30 seconds, and then we'll decide if you can continue.
If he's from Alabama, he's coherent.
I believe that's a black man speaking right there. Ask him, does he have an ankle brace at home, for one thing, I believe. He sounds like a criminal.
No, there's no gays here, and there's nobody from prison.
Well, he might
have
an
intellectual crowd.
No, he might be more accurate than you think.
He has more degrees than the son.
Whose son? I got a bunch of sons. I don't got a bunch of baby mama, though. I don't know. Sometimes, you know, on the side of the hill.
Okay. I'm sorry, you're
just
too much for me. Please find another show and go read the dictionary. I hung up on him.
But you see, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
I'm going to listen to that.
He didn't assimilate. He didn't speak a common language to us. He was just on his own little country, his own little world, and it was chaos. It made no sense. And what did you do? You shut him up. But what you're trying to advocate.
But, John, I do agree. John, I do agree with some of your concepts that you've been talking about. There does have to be – can I just speak first, John? I have several friends. I have several friends who moved here from another country. One is Iranian, one is Yemenese, one is Bangladeshi. Several are from Sierra Leone. These are all people I knew in California. They all spoke fluent English. They took tests in upper-level courses in English, and they acclimated. But I think what Don was trying to say is that we have people from all walks of life in our country that we can't change. And some people, maybe like an old lady came from Cambodia. She was 75 when she got here after the Vietnam War. Like, you can't expect people like that to change overnight and speak English in 6 months.
You don't have to change them, but you don't have to change our country to fit them, to fit the minority, to fit the ones that won't accept society. Now, if they want to bring in 100,000 people from Afghanistan and rechange the country, and they get, you know, you get millions and millions of Afghanistan or Islamic people from different countries in here, or Mexicans, or Central America, South America, and our population becomes the majority of other cultures, and they vote in.
Well, why don't we let Wade weigh in, because he was born and raised in California. He teaches multicultural classes. He teaches in Arizona now. and he taught in California for years. So, Wade, I want your opinion on how foreigners should blend in and what you've witnessed as an individual.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of nuance to be discussed because a lot of countries do, to a certain extent, accommodate other languages. You know, so I think that's reasonable, like having some signs in Spanish. There are a lot of Spanish speakers in the country. As far as I've experienced other countries, they have signs, and a lot of times things are available in English and some other languages. That's not talking about the voting material, though. And I don't know the details. Like Suzette mentioned that well, there was some debate about how much English you're supposed to become a citizen. So I think that could play a factor. Like you should that could play a factor on how much English should be expected in the ballots. That would make a lot of sense. But I mean, I think there's a balance because we do want multiculturalism, right? We do want different kinds of food. We want different experiences and ideas, and we want this place to be a mixture of things and interesting. But there's a problem when people have different values that aren't compatible, and they're trying to run a big country. Like, you know, we can't accommodate, let's say, like Sharia law. There has to be a sense of, and also I've pointed out too many times, I'd want to bring up, it's like, well, a lot of decisions also mainly should be local, right? Like the federal government shouldn't have a whole lot of say over everyone's lives. A lot of things can be decided at a local level. And then, you know, if one community wants one thing and another community wants another, it's not an issue because it's not winner takes all. It's not, you know, this community over here that wants to do things this way, community over here that doesn't want to be like that, force them into it. I think there's a lot that could be discussed in the topic. There's a lot of nuance that needs to be considered.
You made many good points. Suzette, do you have a comment on what Wade said?
Yes, I do. I agree as far as many different groups of people end up developing, you know, when we don't have a uniform, you know, as far as immigrating into the country, you need to learn English. And when we don't follow our own rules that we set for people to be able to come in and become American, a citizen, what ends up happening is we have little Chinatown, little Koreatown, little Italy, and in these little towns, these groups of people come together and they have their own little community. Not saying that nobody can come in from the outside, but if a round eye does come in, if you don't know the language, to go into one of their shops or into some of the restaurants to order or to buy. You know, if you don't know what you're buying and they can't translate for you, it can be very difficult. And it's also very excluding rather than including, as we have included them into the country, you know, as a part of our society. And so it begins to create problems to where now none of these groups will agree as far as the needs and wants from our government. Now, another thing is also that what ends up happening is people start going to the federal government and not bringing it local, and that's where it counts. We're supposed to be sovereign states, but our states have borrowed so much money from the federal government that now basically they're not sovereign anymore, a lot of these states, most of the states, if not all the states, because they can't handle their own budget, so they got to continue to borrow from the federal government. And when these states start to manage their own economies properly, then anything is possible. You know, if you want health care in your state, you know, if it's possible, as far as, you know, the money that you have, your budgets and all of that, then vote for it. Put it on the ballot. But people don't do that. They want the federal government to give them everything. And that's because they don't understand how the country works. And that was because they're not here the proper way. Anyway, back to you.
I wanted to make good job. Don, go ahead. But I want to make a quick comment. The caller is from Indiana, not Arkansas, so he's still on the line. He lied about where he's from. But go ahead
right,
and listen.
Well, anyway,
I hope you're getting – go ahead, Don.
I just wanted to say, ideally, we should – I mean, it would be nice to acclimate everyone into a more homogenous country. But first of all, that's not what we invented or created. And so it's really not possible, especially knowing that our immigrants, you know, eventually they're the business owners. You know, the East Indians, they own the hotels. The, Asians, they have a big say in our software and store, some of our other stores, Hispanics, you know, have restaurants. It becomes a situation where we inculcate these immigrants, and they become the servers of the people, and they get rich. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that's the way it is. Really, yeah, you would like to have a relatively homogenous country, nationalist country.
Don, there is something wrong with that. It's not being homogenous, homogenous people. Not saying that you can't speak your language or open up your own little shop or restaurant or whatever, serving your country, you know, your traditional foods or traditional products. No problem there. But what I'm talking about is when it's completely and isolated to their specific culture and language, to where a person that grew up in America speaking English, not knowing any other language, feels uncomfortable going into those little areas because, you know, number one, they get looked at because, oh, whoa, somebody that's not looks like us comes to our town and wants to buy something. You know, and if you speak the language, you surprise them and they're nice as pie to you. You know, I've just had a negative experience going into the, you know, little Chinatown and not being able to know how much is this or what is this or, you know, do you have this or that? And there's a language barrier there. And so, you know, it ends up excluding when we're supposed to be together, united.
Your fault for not learning some of their culture, because they're there to serve you. The reason that there is a Chinatown or a Koreatown is to get the tourist dollar, and that's, you know, and tourists are anything from natives to people from the country, from the people from all over the world. So there is no need to feel uncomfortable when that is their reason for living, is to get the tourist dollar.
You're missing two key points, though. You're missing two key points, all of us. There's two things as being American. You have to pledge allegiance to the United States.
Yeah, but
States
do you
America.
Know how many Americans can't read well,
listen,
and write?
You have to put aside
Alabama
allegiance to other countries. You can
but
speak
they don't
Spanish.
Know how to – you got people from Alabama
who
can't read and write.
Now, understand, you can eat tacos, but your allegiance has to be United States, and if it's not, you can't be a citizen. You cannot pledge your allegiance to Mexico. It's been flagged. Not only that, you don't agree with that? That's how you become a citizen. You have
to swear. You know how many Americans can't read and write?
Well, how can you swear to come from a country if you can't speak the language? The number two, you're totally missing the point. You have to give up your allegiance to those other countries, to their language. You have to give allegiance to them. You can still speak those languages, but your priority, your voluntary, it says it's on my own will. It's not against your will. You choose to be a citizen. Number two, we are to our military is to defend, and not only that, as citizens, to defend the Constitution of the United States. That's what makes America great. You have to. You can't put aside the Constitution. We have people like Ilhan Omar and others, and Tlaib. They're trying to bring in their own government, their own system, the Islamic culture and laws into our Constitution. You can't do that. You have to defend our Constitution. That's the flaw of what you're talking about. And if we don't have a Constitution, we don't have a country. America's dead.
And there's also a respectful thing. If I went to China, I would attempt to learn the language as best as I could before I went to China and visited. And that's only because it's their country, that's the language that they speak, and I don't expect them to accommodate me and speak English. If they do, great. But if they don't, you know, that's China. That's the way it goes. It's up to me to respect the language and their country and their culture and to learn what I can to communicate effectively before I actually make that visit. And that goes for any place, you know, as far as Saudi Arabia, Japan, you know, anywhere. That's what I would do. Personally, I mean, I don't know if everybody would do that, but that would be the proper thing to do if you're going to travel to a foreign country is to learn the language.
Or else you're a revolutionist or a terrorist. So if you go into China and say, I want to change the let's get the Declaration of Independence, let's get the Constitution here, our First Amendment rights, so you can't. So you're going to have to bring some guns and weapons to overthrow the Chinese government. And that's what I'm saying. People are trying to subvert American laws and constitution. And when you do that, you're a revolutionist. Now, if you want to overthrow, that's fine. We're getting overthrown by subliminal people politically from other countries. And that's they're assimilating in. So this is the homogenization you're talking about. It's the
that's
overthrow.
Somebody's phone is acting fuzzy. So if you're in a pub, John, if you're with your relatives, go in another room.
No.
John, if you're outside, go in another room.
I'm quiet. No, I'm quiet. I'm just trying.
Well, somebody's is off.
But not mine.
Is it better now or no?
Anyway. You know, being a citizen is one thing, but being able to apply that is another. And that's where this conversation, this whole conversation is off. The whole conversation is moot because no matter how ideologically we want to have America, it won't happen. It's unfeasible. We can't go backwards. Like I've said a million times, you know, I watched at the border when I was a kid, all the Hispanics coming over to work by during the day and being taken back home during the night. I watched this repeatedly when I was a kid at National City border. And this was a normal thing where the whites would bring in truckloads, busloads, 5 miles long every day to work the fields, and then they would take them back home at night. So I don't understand what the problem is.
Okay, so if it can be stopped as far as what's happening right now with the different languages, and so to just give up and say that there's nothing we can do, everything's set the way it is for me, is the wrong thing. It's the wrong way to think. If California decided to, next election, only print the ballots in English, and people would have, you know, a year or whatever. They were notified a year ahead of time to learn enough English to be able to vote. If you are an American citizen, then you will make that effort to learn if you want your voice heard as far as expressed in what you want from our
Correct.
Government. If not,
Correct.
Then you don't vote. And that because if you didn't learn the language and you're an American citizen, then there's something wrong because you should have learned it before you became a citizen. So that means
Correct.
You actually don't belong here and you shouldn't have a voice. And even if you're here, stay here, but you don't get a voice and you don't get as far as vote.
But that sounds beautiful. It sounds beautiful, but it's not possible because
it's possible.
People,
anything is possible.
Your boy from Arkansas or Alabama just now, who knows if he can't even read or write? Does that exclude him from being a citizen?
Well, it'll have him make an effort to learn how to read and write. You can make that effort. If you want your voice heard, then you will make the effort. If you don't make the effort, then you don't deserve to vote.
He wasn't allowed to keep talking on the show. So, yeah, you can shut that down. You can shut down. We allow it. See, people like Don allow it and condone it. They go and they talk to politicians who want votes. So they accommodate that. They accommodate people who aren't educated well to bring them in and to just vote to, like sheep. Like, oh, I'll give you free health care. Oh, I'll give you, you know, you come here, make the money here and send it back to your other country. Oh, that makes sense because I can make five times as much money over here. They're not, in a certain way, they're not stupid. I would do it too if I was them. But the point is we make it easy. You have to shut that down because you will lose your whole culture, and that's what we're doing. We're losing our country. So continue on this path. Go ahead, continue, and we will be Mexico. And Don,
we're not
have to worry about coming over from other countries. We will be
losing,
third world country.
We're not, but Don, we're not losing the culture. We're giving it up. When we started giving, when we started buying exclusively from Japan, when we started buying cars and TVs, we don't even make TVs here anymore or radios. We don't even make them in America anymore. We, our cars, we got Japanese car makers that have become institutions in America. We gave that shit away. We didn't lose it.
And you know why? Because people, Americans, didn't stand up. And that comes someone like Donald Trump comes along and says, hey, made in America, make America great. And people like you resist it because you want to be a socialistic like the Nazis, National Socialist Party.
Personally,
your idea
personally,
of socialist, Don. Your whole
party.
At the very least, at the very least, as far as purchasing items from overseas and becoming a service instead of an industry where we make things, manufacturing and so forth, we should at least try to maintain our culture and as Americans. And what we're doing is accommodating all the different cultures. If they want to practice their culture and they came from someplace else, fine, no problem. But when the state and the federal government start accommodating all these different cultures, then we start to create divides. And because we're trying to accommodate everybody, all these different groups, and you can't do that because we are an American culture. Traditions, we have, you know, values, principles, and things that we live by. And we, and if you want to come here, then you need to integrate. That's why you're coming here. You don't come here and bring what you left and why you left here. And then we have a government that's accommodating that. And, that you know, now we're all divided.
Well, Don makes a great point, though. And that is because people with big money, like the Rockefellers and the Rothschild, and the various groups, the Bilderbergers, the Bill Gates, the Microsoft, the computer tech companies, what they do, they send our stuff over for profit. So, that, yeah, they just sell us out because they're globalists. Why do the Bilderbergers get together? Why do people fly from, you know, the International Council of Foreign Relations? And the why do they have Bohemian Grove? Why would these people spend – these people are worth billions and millions of dollars. Why do they take the time to hang out over a weekend to fly from all over the world? Well, let's see. They wanted to catch up on pictures of the family. They wanted to talk about their bowling game or what clubs they or what their favorite TV show is. No, they want to talk about money and where they're going to move their money. They don't care about America. They don't care about the Constitution. They care about their big fat wallet. And like Obama, let's fly 700 people across the country to my birthday party because we really care about global warming and we care about the carbon footprint. We care about wearing, you know, about exposing the whole country and Europe to the COVID because it's so bad. And yet all these stars, as I mentioned earlier, like AOC and all these people parading. Did you see any masks on any at the Metropolitan Gala or Gala, however they pronounce it? Do you see any masks on this? They're parading around. How come we have? Oh, and the security behind them had masks on. Oh, that's because they're commoners. They're not celebrities. None of these people believe any of this crap. Joe Biden doesn't believe any of this. Bernie Sanders.
John, I just got an email from an 87-year-old in West Hollywood. They were denied entry into two restaurants in West Hollywood because they didn't have their full vaccination cards with them, and they could not enter the restaurant.
Wow.
And soon they'll be going door to door hunting us down, the ones that, that haven't gotten the jab. And we haven't even talked about the blood clots. We haven't talked about the blood clots. People, you know, healthy 20-year-old. Slick, he has my bro, he has a friend, kid under 20, fighting for his life, had the jab. You know, another friend, amputate a leg, blood clots. Healthy people.
Oh, God. This is too depressing.
Well, no, it's reality. But here's the thing. One of these reporters, and I'll see if I can pull up the article. I don't have it on me. But basically, one of the news outlets, either New York Times or one of them, he thought, I'm going to show let's show the world, like, this, we're saving the planet. So give your stories of how the vaccine saved your life and changed your life. And 39,000 people emailed him and wrote him and said, I have people that my best friends, they've died, or they're on life support, or they had a heart attack, or they had, you know, major health problems. Like, guy lost is blind. The guy actually lost his eye because he had this major infection and blood clot. It made him blind. But you don't hear this. You just hear how safe it is. You hear, oh, there's a non-vaxxer who got sick that used to be very, you know, active, and now they're begging for their life, or they wish they had the shot. But you won't hear anything. You know, India and Japan, they're practically COVID-free because they take the ivermectin, or however you pronounce it, the horse dewormer drug, and no one talks about it. Because Big Pharma is making too much money here in America, and we have the biggest outbreaks. Same thing with Israel. Anyone heard anything about those stories?
Yes.
Yeah, India must be doing something good. I mean, they've got a very high population density.
Right, and it's very agricultural.
So you'd expect
them to...
You'd expect them to get hit the hardest, yeah.
Joe Rogan, he took the ivermectin or whatever, how you pronounce it, and he's fine. It's like it's all gone. And Howard Stern's ripping on him, and then all the press is ripping on Joe Rogan. It's like, hey, I'm healthy. It's like it did help. You know, it was fine. And the point is, they're not doing case studies or releasing that to the public. They just bury it. And that's the culture, that's the press. By the way, I'm sure nothing will happen from it, but I don't know if you've ever heard, but there was a John Durham investigation I was talking about for months and months, and Trump was president, and how they were looking into the Russiagate thing. And Michael Sussman is the attorney who gave all the Russiagate, all that Trump conspiracy stuff. He sent it to the FBI, and then Comey got it, and Baker and McCabe and the Orrs, and they were spreading it all over. And we spent 2 or 3 years investigating with Robert Mueller. And guess what? Yeah, Michael Sussman got indicted in a secret grand jury. And, you know, he'll probably get a slap on the wrist, but they should hang his ass. Because we put up all that stuff because he was spreading false info and he knew it. And everyone that got handed that stuff should be indicted. And it goes all the way to the Clintons. But Biden's president, and we'll see how far down they bury this one and flush it. Nothing to see here, folks. We're going to go, we're going to put, you know, Roger Stone in prison. We're going to put, you know, all these the different players. I even forget half of them now, you know. I can't even pronounce your name. It's been so long, right? It's not even a memory. But everyone was talking about how bad it all was. This is the guy that started it all. And it didn't even make – I bet you don't even know about it. Probably haven't heard a word. And Durham isn't done. In 2 weeks, he releases his full report. And heads should roll, but Biden's in control. They'll probably waive the whole thing.
Well, Sussman was a major player, but there are other major players as well. And he worked for Perkins Coie, and Perkins Coie was the one who was getting information from the MI6, Christopher or Stevens or whatever his face was.
Chris Pierce, yeah.
Chris Steele, yeah. And so, and Chris Steele was passing that information to the CIA and the FBI. And so, yeah, but as far as Sussman goes, yes, he worked for Perkins Coie, who was hired by the Clinton campaign to, dig up dirt and or create dirt. And so, yeah, that's how that development happened. But Perkins Coie was a major player in where Sussman came from.
And you'll never hear a thing about it. It just gets buried in the news.
And as far as the vaccine goes, you know, there are going to be risks with any vaccine. You know, there are going to be casualties along the way. That's how we learn. That's what these studies are about and so forth and so on. So, you know, as far as that goes, the only problem I have with that is the mandate. Don't mandate me to take something that I choose not to for whatever reason I have. It doesn't matter what reason I give or no reason at all. Don't mandate me to take a vaccine. And so it should be a choice. You know, whether it's killing people or hurting people, again, there's always going to be some risk. But let me choose.
It's not a vaccine, but see, the Moderna is gene therapy. It's not even a vaccine. And these
vaccines. It doesn't even matter. I just don't want it mandated. It could be something, yeah. You know, made from root beer. I don't care. Whatever it is, just don't mandate me. Let me choose and let others have patient autonomy as well. That's all I care about. Just let me choose.
But they're not going
to do what you want.
What happened to my body, my choice? Yeah.
The director, yeah. the person in charge of vaccine research and reporting, Marion Gray, I believe, and then the other guy was I have to look up their names. They resigned a week ago because Biden said we got to push this thing. And they said this protocol, science. We're not even done with our research, and that's when they even said, you know, a kid's under 12, we can't even, you know, not even deal with this. It's like we've got to do, you know, months and years of this stuff. And by, you know, September or something, we're going to roll it all out. FDA approved. So what happened? They resigned in anger. They said, we can't agree to this. It's unconscionable. And they, so Biden forced them out. That's come all the people like, what's her name, Conley, you know, Trump's spokeswoman, and all the people, Spicer, all these people that were in Trump people, he's making them resign. People have administration jobs, you know, still in D.C., he's making them all resign. It's like you're dismissed. And like, we don't, you know, we're not resigning. Then you're gone anyway. And they're being replaced. All these FDA people, they're being replaced with Biden yes people. That's all. That's come there. When they do approve it, it's just because they have yes people. The people that oppose it get obliterated. And that's what
they
you're
were
seeing.
Yes people already. They actually had worked for Pfizer and were on the Pfizer board and Moderna board prior to taking their positions in the FDA and the Health and Human Services.
Right.
So I don't know why he would fire them because they're the ones that instigated it. Even the woman that had promoted the most recent Alzheimer's medication and without any review board, and there were people that had resigned from that review board as well. And also she was responsible for the opiate crisis that we had here because she had also at that time denied any type of review board at the time that they were researching the oxycodone and one other one, but they were opioids nevertheless, and they were pronounced unsafe, and she ignored the board's recommendation not to okay that medication, and she did it anyway.
Wow. Is the sound better? I had it on speaker earlier. I was wondering if that was what was making the difference or if that was causing the problem. Is Jane still there? Jane?
Huh. Everything's for sale. That's what I know. It's
yeah.
big in big pharma, and I mean, we've talked about this before, but you're seeing it in spades now, and this is going to be unleashed at a level you've never seen before because the mandates are going to be coming through, and it's going to be a passport. So once here's the problem. It's not so much even just the mandate, although that is a big issue, having a needle jabbed into your arm against your will. The point is the mechanism of control will be put in place. Once you have the mechanism of control, you can manipulate it. So you can take, like, whatever parameter. Like, well, I want to go to the bank. Oh, passport says it declined.
15-minute warning.
I have a friend. She's trying to get her unemployment benefits. She calls, and she's on the phone for 3 hours, and it's literally a loop going on. Like if you like to get your benefits, press 1. If you have a claim that's more than 2 months, press 2. If you it's not just a 5-second instruction. They talk for like 2 minutes each thing, and you're sitting there going, "Oh my god!" And I said, "Isn't there like just music you can play? You're like, can't you just, I'm just going to sit on hold till someone answers?" No, it's this. You're listening, because if you don't hit the button, it kicks you out. So you have to sit there just listening to instructions ramble on and on. And then when she gets to, finally they go, "Well, we can't help you here. You have to call the claims department." It's like, why can't you help me? You work there. What do? You just answer the phones and pass it on to another machine. And then you wait and you wait. And then they go, "Oh, we can't." I think like in this case, they wanted a copy of their social security card. And they said, "Oh, that's going to take, you have to do this application and you got to wait 10 days. And like, "Oh, no, I have a job right now. They want my social. I just need to get the job because of COVID and they're ready to hire me." And they said, "Well, again, you just go online and register and then you get a confirmation and wait 10 days. It's like, why are you working there? What happened? It used to be you walk in. I mean, any of you have this experience? I walked in. You give them your information, they hand you a card. Beautiful. It's the world's gone. And this is technology in progress. It's a madhouse. It makes no sense."
And I agree.
There are states fighting back. I'm sorry, Don. New York just, their judges passed, their courts passed a judgment saying no mandatory vaccines. Can't do that to the people. Florida, you have Ron DeSantis, but also had signed a law, no mandatory vaccines. So the states are fighting back. That's a good thing.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
I'm not in
favor of a lot of mandatory stuff.
If you live in Minnesota or Wisconsin, you can get your Social Security card in 10 minutes. Just go in the office and fill it out. Well, actually, they'll mail it to you within a week, but the line is only 5 minutes long at the most.
Try California, dude, because I was standing next to them for 3 hours having them watch, and 3 or 4 times they would get disconnected. The phone would just drop, and then they have to call and start all
over
again.
You should just move to Minnesota, learn how to freeze your balls off, and then you'll have a happy life.
No.
And you can
no,
go hiking in the woods.
No, because every time a black man attacks a police officer and gets shot, they burn down the whole town. So, no. By the way,
in a small town just outside of St. Paul, like about 40 miles, 4 black people were killed execution style between ages 20 and 30. They think it was a drug deal gone wrong.
Oh.
In a city named Menominee, Wisconsin. If you go in the woods in Minnesota, you'll get eaten by a bear. You won't get killed because you're Latino.
Well, you see, we're in Minneapolis. They're putting the courts have allowed them to put on the ballot the elimination of the police.
Wow.
So, on the ballot. It's going to be the ability to disband the police.
One thing is for sure, you can't take away police and the Second Amendment at the same time. It's like if there's going to be no police, then people are going to need guns because they're going to have to, you know, be their own protection.
Well, they already have that figured out, and they've already deployed these people. They are the Capitol Police, so basically they're federalizing the police, and that's why they're pushing so hard to defund
that's
and get rid
right.
of the police. Sacramento
yeah.
has Capitol Police. Minneapolis or Minnesota has Capitol Police. A lot of states do. I think there were 11 that didn't, but, yeah, they deployed them and set up offices, and, yep, that's what they're doing. That's not good.
And they that's up to
I was just
going to
let you know.
Go
ahead. The victims in the they were killed in Sheridan, Wisconsin, and two were siblings and two were dating. There were three guys and one girl, and they were all African American descent. Don, why don't you investigate it?
I've said before, always wait 2 to 3 days or even a week, get all the facts, because you know the press will put it out because it's a black people get. Now here, the press didn't want a
well,
black
Well, just so you
man.
Know, most black people don't get shot in a cornfield.
Well, you realize that Larry Elder was attacked in public, and again, not a big deal. Now, if it happened to a Democrat, it would have been front page, terrible, all bad. But no, it was a conservative. Say, no big deal. Okay, nothing to see.
Actually, you're right. I should get all the facts, John, because two of them were Latino and two of them were black.
And maybe you'll find out in a couple of days, oh, they, you know, this happened because of this or that. And it wasn't, you just remember those hangings, oh, yeah, the black people got lynched. No, they committed suicide and hung themselves. And it's like, yeah, they checked the crime scene. Yes, the guy bought a rope. Yes, there's video of him going with the rope, going out to that location. And it's like all this.
Well,
I'll
report back to you guys in a week. But when you get home, when you guys get off the phone tonight, Google quadruple murder, Menominee, Wisconsin. One of them looks mixed. One looks Latino. Another looks light-skinned Latino, and the other one looks mixed black. So you're right. It's hard to really, and they were found in a cornfield. But that's really depressing.
Yeah,
the town of Sheridan, Wisconsin,
right.
is probably like
get the
5,000 people. Yeah. I'll put a post on my Facebook wall so Suzette and John and Wade can see it. I know Don doesn't use the internet.
Sure. Not on your life.
By the way, that guy from Indiana is still on the phone. Should we let him say goodnight?
I think I'll be too happy after what
I think he's kind of a psychic. He did make a prediction about the show. So, yeah, have him make one prediction regarding something we're curious about.
I give him kudos for listening that long. This is Jane from Blog Talk Radio. John wants to know what your prediction for the future is.
First of all, I knew your name would be Jane. It couldn't be more than four letters. I was positive about that. Here's my prediction for the future. Everything will be fine. Trump will get reelected. That's my prediction for the future. Right there. Yes, sir. And I got three BMWs right now. I'm going to have a fourth one. So that guy with the ankle bracelet, Tyrone, over there, and wherever he's at, I think he'll be just fine, too, because he made the most sense of anybody on this show. And that other guy over there, he needs to check his meds, right? They're not working. They're not working.
Which one?
He needs to double up on them.
Which
There's
one?
There's my prediction.
Would okay,
moron,
well, then why did you talk in an Alabama
like
accent? Why did you talk in an Alabama accent?
That was my brother, and he's special. And I usually have him up in the shed, and he got out. right? And he got a hold of my phone and started doing a bunch of stuff. So I put him back in, right? And this is me. I put him back in, and he gets a little, you know what I'm saying? He gets a little iffy, especially when it's hot out. If you're in a shed and it's hot, you know, you're going to get a little feisty. So he got a little feisty that way. So my prediction in the future is just what I told you. I know it's a little bit hard for you people to track, right? I think y'all are racist a little bit. I think we need to relax about race in this country. I do think there's a problem with the Mexicans coming over or whatever coming over, because it seems
that
it's
was
like
that came from
flavor.
A Mexican himself. The guy who said that is half Mexican.
He said he was half Mexican. If you really listen, that guy is from Ohio, right? He ain't Mexican. There ain't nothing.
No,
Mexican
he's from
about
California.
That.
I've known him 22 years. We all know
yeah.
each other
well,
in real
lied
life.
To you for 22 years. How old is he? Is he 21?
Maybe
you
maybe,
knew him for 22
he's
years.
He's 62.
Maybe
John,
he's
defend yourself. He's 62.
Well, yeah,
well,
he's right, though. But
my
there are a lot of people coming over that border. So I think that's our major problem. And I do think politically we have a problem with our leadership in this country. It's obvious, and it doesn't have to be Republican, Democrat. And what's frustrating for a regular person and why we tune out is because both sides are completely just nonsensical, right? They're just pointing fingers at each other for TV ratings and internet ratings and all that. And folks don't spend enough time and just use their own personal intuition and just come to those sort of judgments when they vote. They can't be influenced by what we see and hear in the media, because a lot of it is nonsense. It's total nonsense. So you have to consume it, because that's what we have, right? That's our only resource to make a decision is media. But we have to do it with this sort of veil where we go, most of that stuff is twisted one way or the other, and we have to kind of use our instincts. If we do that, I think we'll land in the right place. But if people don't do that, we end up landing in the wrong place. And I'm not going to point a finger at what direction a regular old person like me thinks should go one way or the other. But my only contention is just settle down and don't consume one source of information. You know, go ahead, and as difficult as it is, listen and read and hear the other side of things and then process it. So I think our future, this is the greatest country on the planet that's ever existed. The way that we operate is young, right, relative to the whole world, under 300 years. Relative to the whole world, our society is new, but it's the best one there's ever been. So let's not screw it up. Right? Let's not do things like communism that was done in the past that has failed and failed and failed and failed, right? Let's not reinvent the wheel here. Just settle down, think things through. That's all I think we should do. So that's my prediction, is that I think there'll be more of that happening. I do. I think the general population is way smarter than we think. And I have faith in them. And people like you that lend a voice to things, and to somebody like me who screws around and all that stuff, I think it's a positive thing. So that's what we need to continue to do as a population, and just talk about stuff. You know, however we talk about it, right? It can be stupid one day and real pointed. You know, it doesn't matter. But it's just talk about things, air it out and stuff, and talk about stuff. But I think we'll be okay in this country. It looks bad right now, but I think we'll be okay. So there's my prediction.
Can I ask you a question, caller?
Sure.
How do you feel about the next generation coming up that has been, the key word or whatever, the word that they indoctrinated? And it is a reality. Parents are fighting back against that now that they are just learning about it. And, you know, and so we've had a whole generation, a couple of generations, you might even say, that have been learning how to, you know, dismiss their parents and only listen to, you know, a certain side. They're very, they can be violent. They don't want to listen. They certainly don't want to talk or debate, you know, and to have an honest discussion about any, you know, any issue in particular. And, you know, I'm not saying all, but most enough to make a difference going down the wrong path. So what is your prediction for the up-and-coming generations?
Well, okay, so get right to the meat of it. You're talking about CRT, critical race theory, right? And how
okay. Go ahead.
Well, yeah.
I'm talking climate change. I'm talking, you know, the socialist idealism that's been pumped into their heads as far as it being a good thing, because we're all equal and everybody will be the same. And they've got this idea in their head that it's going to be roses because they have no idea. They haven't been taught the real history behind socialism and communism, but what they've learned in school as far as it's a good thing, you know, where everybody's together. And
well, that's,
you know,
a very familiar angle, right? And I tend to agree with it, right? I do think there's a lack of a comprehensive teaching of our young people, our kids in school, and it's not well rounded at all. And the perspective is really weird, and it's sort of slanted one way. But you used a lot of words, like they, right? That just tell me that your perspective is one sided. And I kind of agree with it. So what's concerning to me is that I think our kids don't get a really valued education from an accurate perspective of things. So that is difficult to correct. In fact, it's probably impossible. So I don't think that's going to get corrected. What I think can happen is that the parents of all of our, you know, if we have kids, right, our parents getting a little bit more involved. And I do believe that's happening now because we understand that stuff can go a little weird, you know, as far as what our kids are consuming in school. So the parents get involved, right? And if you need to move your child or your kids to a different school where some things that maybe aren't getting taught or maybe there's some levity, that needs to happen. I didn't learn shit about anything till I got to college. I was taught, you know, a bunch of nonsense, and then I started reading things. I'm just using myself as an example when I'm an old guy, but this is decades ago, and I sensed that stuff was always kind of one way. I think that the parents need to really drive that. And they need to calibrate that with their kids. So ultimately, how your child and our children get educated in society is the parents' responsibility. So we can control what the schools do there's parameters around that, right? And that should be controlled to the extent that we can do it. But I think it's happening, though. I do. I think that parents are stepping up and going, wait a minute, what are you doing? You know, what are you telling my, you know, kids are coming home saying, Mom, Daddy, look at this, you know, and so they're stepping in. So I think that engagement versus when I was younger, it's on autopilot. You send your kids to school, you assume everything's right, whatever, you know, go to work and stuff, come home, and that's the rhythm of things, right? But now, the culture now is different. The default answer is to say, well, kids now, they don't want to work. They don't want to do this, that. And but every generation says that. So that's not new. It's just different. It's different now because of how information is transmitted. It's flooded to the population in so many different ways, and it's very difficult to control, and it spills into our schools. So as a parent, I think the responsibility level needs to be raised. You need to understand what your child or your kids are being taught in school. So I think that's the overall message that sort of needs to be communicated. You drive what your kids learn. If you don't like it, you say something about it, right? Mm-hmm. And if you do like it, great. But, you know, you got to monitor that stuff, where in the past that was kind of, so I think we're in a lag. I do. I think we're in a lag from the 60s, 70s generation until now. There's a lag there. So, no, you know.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I
would also go to say as far as that generation, my parents' generation, or actually it would be my generation, that grew up saying, I don't want my kids to go through what I went through, and so I'm going to give my kids everything that I never got or never had, were never given, anything to that effect. And so these kids were given everything. I had to work at 16 or whatever the thing was. I mowed lawns and had a paper route and everything else since I was 12, babysat and whatever. I wanted my own money. I wanted my freedom. And my parents let me have it, you know, as far as that goes. If you wanted something, then you need to earn that money. But now it's, since I wasn't given it, the attitude, where I'm going to give this to my kid. And so the whole I don't work an outside job, yeah, and they just have to focus on their grades, you know, that's, we didn't have boundaries, or my generation didn't have a whole lot of boundaries or discipline. They just wanted to be able to give their kids everything. And in doing so, they didn't realize what type of person they ended up growing up to be, and that they were able to provide those things if they wanted to their children. It's like your parents basically did a good job with you if you're able to provide those things to your kids, which you say that you never had. And so you're spoiling them. But now what's going to happen? They're not going to grow up and be responsible adults like you that were able to provide those things. Think about what you're creating here.
Isn't that interesting how society shifts? Essentially, the core narrative is kind of the same, right? There's always some kind of change within generations, right? There's always some kind of change. But you have to pay attention to it if you're a parent that is really trying to do a good job, and you have to absorb all that stuff and kind of understand how the world's working now versus mm-hmm. when, you know, we grew up. It's different. And if mm-hmm. you're, to me, if you're a great parent, then you kind of take a step back and you just listen, you process those things, and then you adjust to what society kind of wants and demands and how you can navigate through society. If you don't do that, and a lot of folks don't, I'm not saying I'm better than anybody or any of that or smarter, but I am. But you know what I'm saying, that a
mm-hmm.
lot of folks
oh,
don't.
Yes, absolutely.
So you're going to have a baseline there that it just isn't going to adjust. They're just going to have kids, and they're just going to go to work, and that's that. And they're not going to pay attention, not going to give them good advice and how to adjust. So you're going to have that. That is sort of a baseline across society that never changes that percentage, right? So what's important is, oh, God, it sounds so terrible to say this. What's important is the percentage above that, because those are the folks that drive stuff and make decisions. And I'm not even comfortable saying that, I'll be honest with you. But, man, that's true.
But it is a reality,
so,
you know, and I'm glad that you said
it.
It
is.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I don't like saying that. I can't even complete the thought, because it bothers me so much, because it sounds elitism, right? But it's just the truth in society. No, everybody's not equal. So to get back to kind of something you alluded to a minute ago, is that all of that talk, and this comes up every generation or two, everybody's equal and we can all do that. I mean, that travels down a very, very bad and difficult road. So to even go farther back in kind of what you were asking about originally, is in school, kids
mm-hmm.
need to understand historically how governments have worked in the past and how they've failed and how they've succeeded, and try to take out any bias. And that's hard because human beings have bias. They do. But, you know,
mm-hmm.
we need to hold teachers to a higher standard. You know, they have to understand the impact they have on these kids. And so they got to be paid more, number one. So, but they, you know, you got to hold them to a higher standard. So there has to be a perspective on history, what's worked, what hasn't worked. And this whole communism, Marxism thing rears its ugly head, I would say, about 20 or 30 years. But all you have to do is read a little bit. And it's terrible, and it's never worked. It's never going to work. So that's my fear. prediction is that ultimately our country will win and our way of operating a society will win out. But what is the cost? How ugly is that going to be, meaning cost of life and all, you know, who knows? But the largest problem is that now weapons are so powerful. They're not bullets anymore. They're nuclear weapons, right? So it's so powerful that if there's a conflict, it could be just like drastic, just wipe entire civilizations out. So the weight on all that is stronger. So that's why I think this stuff needs to be talked about and worked through and all that with some kind of some sense. And boy, if we just rely on what's thrown at us from the television, from the internet and all that, if that's all we do, and people tend to default, it's human nature, with whatever they kind of think they believe and they just sort of lean that way, pretty soon that's all you ever watch or listen to, right? You know what I'm talking about, Foxy.
The echo chambers.
Right? And that's all you listen to, and then now you want to kill everybody else on the other side. They're stupid. They don't know what they're doing. You know, all that. That's a terrible way to go. So what I'm waiting for and what I hope will happen, and I think it will happen, and it'll happen in our lifetime, is something in the middle going, hold it. You know, just hold it. Just think about things. And what I've always done in my life is just, what do I see in here? What impacts me? What impacts my life? What do I see in here every day when I talk to people? That I just defaulted to that because that other stuff is just noise. So that's the way to go. And I hope that message can get out there a little bit because that's how we'll buoy ourselves as the greatest country that, you know, in the world that ever lived. You know, not ever lived, that's stupid. But the you know what I mean.
I understand.
I'm sorry to go ramble on and on, but I'm passionate about that shit, man. It's interesting to me, and I like it.
No, I enjoyed it very much. I for me personally, you know, I grew up around in the time of sticks and stones, and also I'm responsible for myself. Don't worry about anybody else and what they're doing. You need to focus on what you need to do and get done. And because if I'm focusing on what everybody else is doing, not only am I not getting my things done, but I'm also, you know, criticizing people for something that I should be taking care of in my own life. So those are the things.
You know, let me give you one short example of something. Right, my sister, I'm 56, I think. I might be 57. I'm not sure. It's confusing. My sister, I'm going to give you one quick example of something that's positive. My sister has a daughter, my niece, her name is Summer, right? And she has three girls, right? My sister was a stripper. That's all she did. She was a stripper, right? My niece is the farthest thing away from that you can ever imagine. First of all, she's a white girl, and then she married a black man. She has three mixed little beautiful little girls, right? And my niece, and I don't know where she got it because I look at her all the time. I've never said this, but I look at her, I shake my head. God damn it, I knew how she grew up, right? And I don't know. It must have been some sort of reflex from how she grew up, but she's very, very involved in her baby's lives, her daughter's lives and stuff, and she's – she directs their schoolwork and all that, man. She makes sure they do it, and she talks with them about it, and she sort of points them in a direction, finds out what they like, what they don't like, and all that. And I just watch from afar, you know, as an uncle, and I go, I just can't. So my point is human nature will take over, right? My niece is a really good mother, right? Amidst all the chaos that is life, she was never taught any of this. Instinctively, she's a really good mother. And so she's sort of assessed how to operate in our current, you know, societal, you know, situation. And she knows, you know, how to direct her babies. So I have. That's why I have faith. That's one example. So
yeah,
I think
those are the ones like your sister and you know the other people out there as well that are like that. And now we just have to increase those numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, as far as nature taking its place and it taking its course.
Well, all we can do is elicit conversation, right? We can't really increase numbers, but we can bring about conversation and listen to people.
Mm-hmm.
And just challenge people now and then, you know, about ideas and stuff and ask people, like I was doing, examples. I mean, example, what do you really mean? You know, let's hear it. You know, however we do it, there's a number of ways to do that, right? But that's the value. That's valuable. And I think it's understated a lot, a tremendous amount.
I think
amount.
I agree.
So shows
I
like
see
yours.
Your point.
Well,
I see your point as far as where I was saying we need to change. Go ahead, James.
The show's on Intuit.
We don't
have
to change anything.
Give,
we just got to talk about shit.
I would like to give the other co-host a chance to ask this gentleman a question. So what's
okay,
your first name?
That.
They would like to ask you a few questions, maybe Don or John or Wade. May I have
Scott.
Your first name, please?
My name's Scott.
Okay. You guys... I have to head out somewhere. I'm on another time zone, but feel free to end the show. But I'm opening the floor up to John, Wade, and Don if you want to make a conclusion and ask our guest caller a question.
Well, I wouldn't like to. I agree, he's been enlightening. So there are a lot of things, especially about education. I'm in the middle of education. I'm a lobbyist, Scott, so I deal with the laws of Nevada here and some laws of the country, but mostly Nevada. And some of the things that you're saying I've been proposing for decades. So, you know, we need to really think about getting the parents involved, making sure that we're all educated in the affairs, because if we vote, we've got to know what we're voting for. So, you know, I've been pleasantly surprised, and I was wondering why you were ostracized earlier, or your brother. But, you know, for the most part, thank you very much for your information.
Hey, man, keep, you know, we can never stop educating ourselves. That's what's cool about human beings, man, our minds. You know, you sound probably near my age or something. And our bodies fail us, right? But our minds get better. Our minds shift
mm-hmm.
a little bit, right? Maybe they're not as quick, but they change a little bit. And education is wonderful. It's fantastic. So keep doing it, brother, man. Do it. Good for you.
Yeah.
Wade or John, do you have a question for our caller?
Yeah, good, great point, for sure. Most of the schools the schools I've been working in seem pretty good, but we had one recently this week. There was a lesson on the history of the Islamic Empire, and it seemed like there was a real effort to excuse a lot of what was done there. They said that, oh, they had slavery, but they were very nice. Had to be nice to the slaves. And I said, well, there's no such thing as being nice to a slave. If someone's a slave, you're not being nice to them. And the other one was they said, oh, there was religious tolerance in the empire. It's like, well, yeah, they made people pay taxes with one of their children. So, yeah, I hope that, you know, I tried to sneak in a little truth and point some things out to the class.
Maybe I think the way we teach our kids can just be altered a little bit with the parents involved.
Yeah.
I don't know if it can be structured or not, but I'd love to see a school district sort of do something creative. And it's probably out there already, and I just don't know about it. But the parents have an impact and have some input and direction on the way that their kids are getting taught. And then they also listen to maybe they sit in on classes a little. I don't know. It's corny, you know. I don't know, but that's kind of my overall point around education is that parents need to be involved, man.
It can go yeah. any direction the parent wants, but you got to know what they're telling your kids. We have to know that stuff.
Yeah, for sure. I totally agree. Yeah, parents should always be allowed just to sit in.
Sorry, go ahead, Wade.
Yeah, I did. That's all I wanted to say.
Well, you know, some of the other side of that is the parents have to take the initiative, right? I'm sure they're – I'm not sure. You know, I don't know. I don't have school-age kids anymore, but I'm not sure. But I would think that no teacher or no school district would object to a parent going, hey, I want to sit in on this class. And you just come sit in the back of the room, right? And especially history stuff. That's where history, sociology, that's where I'd want to be. And you sit in the back of the room. So
yeah.
part of this, probably, you know, the impetus on this stuff is the parent and just getting involved. And I just want to listen, you know, just come in and listen. So how do we do that? How would we kind of sort of light that fire in a parent and saying, you can do this. You need to know what your child is being taught when they come home with some crazy homework and stuff and books. You can go sit in the class and listen. You know, you can't, you know, hold up a sign and protest and disrupt the whole class, right? But you can listen.
Yes.
It probably doesn't happen a lot. I don't know. Maybe it does. Maybe it happens more than I think it does. But that piece of communication to parents now, it's worth it. You need to just kind of participate once in a while. It doesn't matter if it's once a month, right, or once a week or once a year. Just do it once in a while. Sit in and listen and hear what your child is hearing. So I don't think that little piece of communication ever happens. Because the PTA, you know, that whole lobby is not interested in that, right? The only folks that are interested in that are the parents of their children.
Mm-hmm.
But you get wrapped up in life. You're working. You're tired. And you get on autopilot. Kids go to school, come back. Go to school, come back. You work, you know, all that. And there's stuff going on there, especially now in our societal climate right now, where some of these teachers just go off like the deep end with stuff. They have no right to do that. I don't know how – there's ways to do it, I'm sure, but I think that needs to be done just to let parents know you can go sit. Go take a half a day off, you know, once every couple months and sit in on your kid's history class, civics. I don't even know if they teach that anymore, but that's what it was called back in the day. You know, but participate a little bit. Participate with your ears, right? And then you can decide whether – and then I don't know. I just don't think that happens a lot. I don't think it's ever happened, but I think it's needed now given this age with all this information out there. I think that's really needed. So I think the way that parents parent their children needs to morph a little bit. So I'm wondering,
if I
you
may,
know, how we get that
I would
message
say that the one good thing that came out of the whole lockdown out of COVID was the fact that parents started to understand what their children were learning because they were remote learning. And so there was a,
mm-hmm.
you know, there was a big wake-up call for parents at that point when they understood, hey, wait a minute, why aren't you learning, you know, history, English, reading, writing, or whatever it was they were supposed to be learning? And so I think that is why people are getting involved now. Parents are getting involved because they understand now where the system is failing.
Every level of
but they never paid attention.
That travels. Post high school, it's even worse. But yes, involvement.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it sometimes. I've seen places. It depends on the school, but sometimes parents will come. They'll join in as helpers. But yeah, the accountability is key. I mean, also, you know, I, ironically, being a school worker, yeah, I do believe in school choice. Well, actually, right now I am working for a charter school system, but I do believe, because also with school choice, you can have very different options. You know, when everything is just socialized, everything has to, we all have to agree. But with school choice, you can have a group that goes off and a teacher can try something very different that they believe, hey, this is going to work. This is a great idea. But maybe most parents wouldn't agree, wouldn't be sold on it. But they can
right.
get the parents
hey,
that do think it's a good idea.
And
we can see how that works out.
I have a question for you. So you're in the schools, you're in the school system, right? So I'm far removed from any of that. So what would be the difference from a public school and in school choice? So I never understood any objection, you know, politically and within the populace, the local, you know, folks. I never understood why there would be an objection to having a school choice option. I never got it. So I wonder, I'm sure you can give me some background.
I agree with you. Yeah. The argument I've heard from the other side is usually that it takes away funding from the public schools. You know, but if the public schools aren't doing a good job, but also, like, people can have different things, too. I mean, that's one of the points I wanted. Like, we, you know, we don't all agree on what the best course is, so we can try different things, and we can see who, you know, what works. But, yeah, the big argument is taking funding away from the public school.
Money. Yeah, so it's money, right? So if money
is
pulled away, then whenever they – I don't know how it works, but I understand that. But you, that's interesting. You finished with, yeah. Well, okay, so parents get involved, and then so I don't pull my child.